Blog Talk Radio.
Here she comes, come,
the reality comes, shake on,
the real deal, here she comes,
the reality comes.
Here she comes.
Well, good morning, everyone. I don't know what's going on with you, but I can see we got a little sun coming in today. Yay! Woo, 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 woo. I am the reality coach, your real talk, real issue coach. And what I do is I talk about things that affect people in the communities, especially people of color. And these shows are designed to enrich you with enlightenment, not to entangle you with entrapment, okay? You also, whenever you see me on here with the shades on, that's because I'm on here keeping it 100% real, and that's just what that is, okay? Now, let me see. I don't know what my guest is, but anyway, my guest is Reggie Ruffin of Just Cause Coalition today, and the reason why I have him on here is because he's been in the media scene for a long time, and I'm not, excuse me, the media scene, but in the civil rights movement and activists in the community doing things to get people to get out and vote. Get out and vote. Now, I know that we haven't heard much about voting so far, but on May 6th, it is an election, people. There is an election going on. And the reason why I want you all to understand the importance of your local municipalities is because if you live in Mesquite, Garland, I know Mesquite and Garland, Lancaster, Duncanville, and I think Cedar Hill, I need to make sure, y'all fact check me on that, please help me, because y'all know I'm doing 101 things at one time, and trying to keep up with everything is almost virtually impossible for one individual. But God is going to send some help this way sooner than later. Anyway, what I need you to understand is the importance of voting in your local municipality, because you all, this determines what funding you get for your city. For your children, your fire department, your police department, all of these different departments, this is what, I mean, it determines the funding that you get, whether your roads are fixed. Come on, people, you got to vote. And then it also determines who your district attorney is, what county you go through the judicial process. And it is very important that we put people in these seats that are going to follow the constitutional law. Constitutional law, people. If a person is not in there, male or female, I don't care who it is, judge, prosecutor, DA, whomever, if they're not in there for the right reason, then they don't need to be there. I do see my guest on screen. Let me get him on. Hi, Mr. Oh, goodness. Am I not live? Just a moment, y'all.
Okay.
Now, how do I remove this? I don't know. Y'all, I am learning how to do all of this stuff, and I tell you, oh, goodness, what did I do? Y'all, I'm sorry. I know I'm on Blog Talk, and I am trying to figure out how to remove this here. It's a screensaver. Nope, that didn't work. Anyway, Reggie Ruffin, we're going to keep it moving. We're not going to worry about it. I see you got your shades on.
Yes, I do. I'm sitting up here now trying to get this, having to reattach my trying to reattach my new charging cord that I got.
Okay.
Just bought me a little 10-foot cord over the weekend so I can have more flexibility. And I set up here trying to get all this other crap off of here. Okay.
You got it together? Now, you know, don't worry about anything. We do what we do, and I keep it 100% real. People need to understand when you are trying to make a movement happen, you may not know everything, but that you do know, you work with it, and you keep going until something different happens.
Yeah, when you told me to put sunglasses on, I had to go look at all my storage, all my little storage buckets. I'm like, which bucket has that? Because I had these sunglasses on. These are my little safety goggles I used to wear when I worked at Union Pacific Rail.
But
thank God I found them.
Well,
I was like, boy, that was a plot twist right there.
Well, you know me. I'm full of twists and turns. And like I said, I am going to have to, I can't see us, but you can hear me clearly, right?
Loud and clear.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. But anyway, I just gave them the topic for today, and it's the importance of your local municipality voting, because a lot of people don't understand the importance of this. This is very important that we do these things, because if we don't, we're going to get people in these seats that may or may not keep their platform promises. And what a platform promise is, you all, what they do is, and me being a former candidate for a city council, what the platform was that I went on is what the things that I was going to try to make a difference in or change completely. And once people get those platforms and they don't do what they're supposed to do when they want your vote, but once they get your vote and they get in the seat, they forget what they said that they were going to do, and therefore there's no need to compete for your vote at that point in time. So it's like, whoop, oh, well, we did what we did. But anyway, I'm going to take these shades off because it's time to get into the real deal with the Reality Coach and Reggie Ruffin of Just Cause Coalition. We thank you for coming on. I cannot do this without the public's help, and I appreciate each and every one of you who helped me do these things. Okay, so Mr. Ruffin, what have you've been out here, tell us a little bit about you and why you got started in this movement for advocacy for voting rights, people's social justice rights, and all of these things.
Well, it started for me back in 2009 when a friend at the time that I had, her name was Monique Sampson. I met her when I was going to Westwood College.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to become a legal, I was starting my career being a legal aid.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to, you know, try to be a legal assistant and everything. Thought it'd be a nice little change up. You know, met this young lady there. We struck up a friendship, conversations, you know, this, that, whatever, whatever, whatever. And she had a death in her family.
Mm-hmm.
And I had talked to her, you know, like probably a couple of weeks before the incident that got me into the situation occurred.
Mm-hmm.
She calls me on a Sunday. I was in Shreveport, and she asked me to talk to her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She left my text message and everything that I left her like a week before about, you know, I'll be praying for you and your grandmother and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she tried to use that to manipulate a so-called relationship that we was having that I wasn't aware of at the time. And, you know, the boyfriend, I guess, got jealous and went in her phone and saw my phone number, everything like that. So she gonna put me on the spot, talking about I need to talk to him, explain our relationship. I said, whoa, hold up.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I ain't gotta talk to explain nothing to nobody. I said, you know, I don't appreciate you putting me on the spot like that, because, you know, the last time we had talked, it was probably like, you know, about a week. And But she insisted I need to talk to him. I said, well, no, I'm not going to talk to him. She gets angry at me for not indulging the situation and called me back later on that day, you know, talking all type of, I'm cussing me out, calling me all types of bees and everything like that. And I just basically ignored her completely and just didn't talk to her at all. Then she talked about sent me a text message to my, I'm going to come over to your house. I'm going to get you straightened out and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. I said, okay, you can come vertical, but you might leave horizontal. So that would not be a good idea to threaten me and come over my house of all places. You know, I'm like, you know, you don't come over, you don't go to nobody's house and trying to, you know, cause a problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what in the world just happened?
Years old, they come outside the house and everything like that. So I had told her, you know, not to come over, but, you know, she does it anyway. So I go out there to try to handle the situation, try to tell her, look, you need to leave because you're not welcome over here. I didn't invite you. And she's standing all in the middle of the street talking all, you know, talking all like she's King Kong and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, I looked and her son pulls a gun out of his pants. You know, had it tucked up in front of his little crotch part of his pants. So when I saw the gun, I said, "Oh, okay, you want to do that?" So I reached behind my tree, pulled out my 12 gauge, and she goes screaming and hollering and everything. And then she jumps in her car. Before she jumped in the car that she was in, I shot the windows out with my 12 gauge. She then jumps in the car and drives off, you know, glass spilling all down the street. So now I got to go up to my job and explain to them that I got to call the police because, you know, now we got a serious problem. I go to the job. I told them what everything went down. I called the police from there. I get back to the house. There's like 10, 12 police cars out there. And so I went there and talked to them about, you know, what was going on. I said, I need to talk to the officer that's in charge. You know, I mean, they had the whole block cordoned off at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I got there and I explained to them everything that was going on. And, of course, they're going to arrest me and going to charge me for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. And I'm going like, well, why is it I'm getting charged? I'm the only one going to jail, the only one getting charged. But we're gonna get back to that in a moment. So
now, hold on, just 1 second. Now this is, I'm putting these shades back on because y'all need to understand. There are times when things happen where a woman is aggressive with a man, and then the man is the one who's held accountable. Now I have seen women who jump on, when a man is trying to leave to keep from hurting a woman or doing something that he knows can possibly get him into trouble, I have seen where women will jump on the man's back, they will slap at him, they will hit him, they will step in front of the car, they'll sit on the car, they'll grab the doors, they'll do whatever they want. And then when the police are called, regardless of what that man is saying and what he's stating, he's generally going to go to jail. Am I correct? Is that generally what happens? Is this kind of what happened in your situation?
Yep. And like I said, that was very reminiscent of another situation that we're going to get to. But in this particular situation, she was the aggressor. She was the one that started the whole mess. And like I said, she lived in Red Oak. She drive all the way from Red Oak to my house.
Mm-hmm.
And started this little situation, and she brings a 14-year-old boy, you know, to hold a gun, to threaten me with a gun and everything.
Wow.
Now, I ain't the smartest mofo in the world, but at the end of the day, I'm looking at already 4 felony acts that she should have been charged for. On top of the fact that she was a convicted felon that had 4 prior felonies prior to what happened that night. But yet, the police didn't think of none of that. They only came after me because they claimed I'm the one that fired a weapon. And you know, I said, well, she had a weapon too.
Well, now.
Then I find out, huh?
Well, now, she didn't fire her firearm. Am I correct?
No, but they did brandish the firearm and they threatened me with it.
Well, now you do understand why the police said you're the one that fired the weapon.
Yeah. I told them I fired a warning shot. I told them it was self-defense. And on top of that, you know, Castle Doctrine, that's one of those things they claim that the law is supposed to be for, sort of like standard ground law. But I tell people this all the time. The Constitution, self-defense, standard ground, those things, they act like bleach. They cleanse and protects whites while they bleed, soil, stains, and ruin colors. So that's exactly what it did for me. Those things are not for black men in general, especially not for black men.
Okay,
black men don't have no legal right to defend themselves under any circumstance, especially if a black woman is involved.
Well, I think that we have to. In all fairness, I've been dealing, you do know that I deal with radio and I deal with a lot of prisons. And I was under the impression, just as you are, that a lot of black people are done wrong. Well, lo and behold, I see that when it comes to prison for profit, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It does not matter.
Right. That's new slavery. That's the new slavery now.
So it's not about color. It's about money. And if they can get you, they will. And that's just the bottom line.
So, and that's exactly what I had found out at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they brought me in for questioning. They kept me for like 3 days. They put me on a 72-hour hold. But after they picked my cell phone records and everything like that,
mm-hmm.
A few days later, they released me.
There you are.
Okay,
you can see me now.
Yeah. So I'm looking like, okay, everything cool, right? But
mm-hmm.
I read that, I know. So I was down at Crowley, you know, a couple of days after I got released. And of all people I ran into Philip Hayes. Philip Hayes was one time a young prosecutor who prosecuted the man who I had got into an incident with. I got stabbed back in 2001, and Philip Hayes prosecuted that case, and the man that stabbed me was arrested and convicted for aggravated assault with deadly weapon. So I'm going like, why would they do aggravated assault with deadly weapon? It should have been attempted murder, but they said, in Texas, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon carries as much time as attempted murder.
Did you find that to be true?
I found it to be true, but it still left a bad taste in my mouth because I felt like we should have took the case to trial, but they were just concerned with getting the conviction and wasn't concerned with what I wanted to have done. But reluctantly, I accepted, you know, that outcome, and you know, he was prosecuted. But however, the young man ended up he did his 10 years. He made his amends, and everything was salient after.
Okay, now hold on. We're talking about fairness in the municipal system and why it's so important to vote. So was the individual who received this punishment African American or white, or what was he?
Well, of course he was African American. It was like, I mean, they don't have a problem with doing things when it comes to black on black crime, but I was still pretty taken aback by how all of the circumstances involved in that scenario, how it all panned out, and then in the end, nothing really ever happened in that instance. But I ran into Philip Hayes that day when I was at Crowley trying to find out more about what happened to the current case for the aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So he told me, why don't you go down to the records and find out something about Monique Samson? He said it didn't seem right that they handled that case the way that they did and they didn't arrest her. So he was wondering what was going on that.
Okay, so who is Monique Samson?
Monique Samson was the woman who came over to my house that night.
I just wanted to make sure that the viewers understood.
Background, so they follow along.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've done this segment several other times before, and it always amazed me how people got off the path and start drawing their own wild conclusions. And I'm going like, that's not what I said. And I said you heard what I said, but you wasn't listening. You wasn't following through.
Okay, so to fast forward, you got involved in a situation where you saw that there was a possibility, well, not a possibility, that justice was not being applied. So was this like a motivating factor to get you into the position you're in now of wanting to do what you do to help others combat
the consequences?
Okay.
Because what happened in this entire situation, it was such a slap in the face as to just how meaningless our lives really are and how many times, I mean, I could go down a list of hundreds upon hundreds of people that I've talked to over the years where they gotten themselves into some type of situations either similar to mine or somewhere in that neighborhood where here, and I mean, this is, I'm going to say here in Dallas County, because this is where we live, but however, this is something that goes on nationwide, is that there's no concern or care about the system as to what happened, what really happened, the fairness of what happened, did this happen or that happen. All they care about is getting a conviction.
Why do you think that is?
Well, in our system, it's not about the situations mitigating or otherwise that got you there. All they care about is getting you on paper. See, our society makes billions upon billions of dollars with prosecution. Well, you was talking earlier about arrest for profit. Yes, it is it's a for-profit scenario. And, and of course, you're very well aware of how it works because it affects you, it's affected you now, because we be thinking all the other times, back in the day when I was young and dumb, I was thinking, black people was going to jail because they were just going to jail because they acted like they didn't have, everybody wanted to be, pardon the expression. When they say the N-word and they put an A on the end, they say, well, that's where we are. And I'm like, okay, so why we got to be knuckles and everything? I said, well, I used to frown up on that. Because Tupac used to bounce around, talking about I'm gonna be a N-I-G-G-A, where we could get drunk, smoke weed every day, Everybody was making money off of this, whether they was rapping about it, whether they coined that phrase, how they want to do it,
Okay, so now we got the backdrop of how all of this came into play. It's the music, the wanting to be cool, the wanting to, for whatever reason, but it has gotten a sidetrack, And we're so caught up as a people, we're so caught up in everything around us that we forget about voting. And the thing about this is so many emphasis are put on the presidential election or the governor's race. A lot of things are put on the Senate, the representatives and all of that. But there are things that are so important, more so than that, that people need to understand. Your local municipalities are the most important thing. Yes, the president is important, but people need to understand the president is protecting the whole country. He don't care about Dallas County. He probably doesn't even know about Dallas County. And he doesn't know about Tarrant County. He doesn't know about all of these little counties because he's got a whole 50 states with thousands of counties in it. So you as a people, you must learn the importance of your local municipality because that determines what you get in your city. The president, hey, it determines what you get in the country. But guess what? You may not get as much as a country member, as a countryman, but I promise you, you can get a lot more if you pay attention to your local municipalities than you will ever get as one in the country. So what I'm saying, with this upcoming election in May, how important is it for people to understand, to keep from ending up in situations that they have to fight so hard to get out of? Because and I'm one that's a witness, I'm on a journey to justice with my son. A lot of these elected officials that we put in these seats, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're breaking the laws. Not only are they breaking them, they are not even paying attention to the law. How are they let me put it this way. They're the localized law. But see, when you're determining who sits in these seats in your local communities, you got to always think, if you land up in a situation like Reggie has, like my son has, I have a son that was murdered. I mean, I just don't understand the judicial process that Dallas County has done. So my whole thing is, I live in Mesquite. So my shallow thinking, before I realized the importance of voting in your local municipality, I didn't realize that whatever goes on in Mesquite, if there's a prosecution that's going on, it's going to Dallas County. So it is important that you know who you're putting in these seats. And then my thing is, you live in Dallas County, so you have council men and women who sit on the council. It's very important that we as surrounding cities get to know people that live in Dallas County who can go to that council person that can get to the district attorney, because a lot of times my council people are not really dealing with Dallas. They're dealing with Mesquite. So with that being said, how important is it for all the surrounding counties that are under Dallas County umbrella? How important is it for us to study your council people in your city?
Well, those are all great facts, but it's just like the setup for a car. When you have a car, you have the engine of the car. They have the engine that works with the transmission. The transmission goes to the rear axle, and then of course you got the battery that helps power the car. Then you have to think about the fuel that helps the car go down the road, the engine the oil that cools the engine, keeps the engine going. All of these things work in their own little function. You got this working over here, this working over there. All these things have to work together for this car to go down the road. And when you start having components that cause that car not to run right, like all of a sudden your thermostat not working, it overheats. If your carburetor's not working right, now you're not getting fuel. But all of these things have to go together so that it can go down the road. And of course, last but not least, you got to have a key that goes into the ignition that cranks it up and causes it to go. But when you start having misfunctions that causes the car not to run properly, the system bogs down, it chucks down, and now it has to get fixed. And that's where we are now. We're the citizens of this community. And we are who makes these things go. But however, it seems like when our local leaders in office, you know, they make all these claims, you know, they see this going on, see that going on. They run on these campaign promises that they're going to do something, you know, for that. But when they get down there and they start getting that good old taxpayer dollar and start, you know, making money and everything like that, they forget about you.
Okay, hold on. One second. Now, I know that when I was going to be an elected council member, there was not a lot of money coming from sitting in that seat. So when you say they're getting this good old dollar, where is that dollar coming from? I mean, I don't think that they make a whole bunch of money sitting in those seats.
Campaign contributions, favors they do for certain people and everything. Oh, this money comes in a whole lot of ways that we don't know about until we get in that seat. But I will say this, and I've seen this from my own personal experiences, that politicians they carry a lot of favor.
It's called lot of kickbacks. What are kickbacks? What are kickbacks?
A kickback can mean a whole lot of things. A kickback could be someone just getting a little. It's sort of like a tip. I put it like that. It's sort of like a tip that they get from the contributors and everything. We see these things happen so many times, so many ways. Like for example, Craig Watkins gotten in some hot water behind one of his campaign contributors. Got into a little dispute with one of Lamar Hunt's grandsons. I think his name was Al Hill the third.
Is this something that people can fact check? Because we don't want to put anything out here.
Absolutely.
Okay. You can look these names up.
Anything I talk about can always be Googled.
Okay.
Always tell people, never take my word for what I tell you. Fact-checking.
There you go. So a lot of these people are getting a lot of. So this is why it's so important. And I have an open platform. And let me tell you, when I ran for candidacy, I did not want the pre-printed questions. I wanted to be real. I want people to understand who I am as an individual. So you all, let me tell you, when you're looking at these candidates and they're doing a lot of these interviews, from what I experienced as a candidate, the questions were sent to me beforehand. So I had an opportunity to practice what I was going to preach instead of preaching what I practiced. And that's the whole thing.
Exactly.
A lot of these candidates, they get out here, and y'all, they're so, let me say me, because I was a candidate twice. I was not welcomed because I didn't follow the script. Like he said, if they needed oil, I may have been wanted to be the water. If they needed a motor, I may have wanted to be the transmission. No, they needed me to be what part they needed me to be to make that car run. And I wasn't cutting from that cloth. I'm not a cookie cutter. So this is what we need to make sure that we put in these seats. People who are not cookie cutters, who are gonna follow the law and have the compassion for people, they are not their own passions. And that is what's happening. We're getting too many people in these seats that are supposed to be there for the compassion of the people, but they get caught up in their own passions. And that's what happens. And when money is your motive, that's a problem. And like I tell people all the time, they're wanting me to do a lot of things, Reggie. They're wanting me to do this, do that. And the first thing they ask me, what is your charge? And I tell them quickly, money has never been my motive. Money has never been my motive. My mind is money. And if I got to use you to make some money, then my mind ain't worth nothing.
Are we having technical issues or something?
No, we're not. Why?
My phone kept circling around and I lost you every time you was talking, making your point. my phone went offline or something. The signal went offline.
Oh, well, you know, don't worry about it. This is the reality coach, and she is shadow banned everywhere because I am so real. What I just said was, when I was a candidate, I was not the typical candidate, so therefore I was not welcome because I was not a cookie cutter. And if, like you said, if they wanted me to be the transmission, I wasn't trying to be the transmission. I was trying to be the engine because I needed the car to move in the direction for the people, not for my passion. And that counseled me out. And I'm not sure, and like you said, people always ask me about money. Money is everybody's motive. And let me tell you, people, in a little bit, in case you are not, if you are not in the know, look at what's going on. The Bible says even the very elect will be deceived if it were possible. People, paper money getting ready to go bye-bye anyway. I'm just telling you, you heard it here first on The Reality Coach. Paper money's getting ready to go bye-bye. Because they can control the government. Well, people, the powers that be are realizing that money moves so much they can't keep track of it. But if they can put it all in one system and punch a button and say, oh, Dorothy Patterson has this much money, let's take some out. See, they can't take nothing if I keep it in the, like the old people used to do, put it in a jar in the ground. They don't have no control over that. So people, understand, we're headed that way. That's why we got all of these things like Bitcoin, all these new money coin things going on. But I'm just saying, let me get back on track because I will go all the way over there. But nonetheless,
we can do a whole other segment on that one.
Well, we are going to do a part. We are going to do a part two because I just want to give people a breakdown of why the importance of municipal localities is so important. But I also want to do the part two because there are some things when you get people in these seats that you don't want there. There are some ways to get them up out of there before their term is up, just like the president can be impeached, a candidate can be recalled. Well, oops.
Yeah.
Did I say that? Okay. Well, anyway, let me get back on track.
Yeah, like that. You just stepped on some nerves then.
Well, that's what the reality coach is. I am tired of people getting in these seats who have no purpose for the people. Their only purpose for their own personal agenda. And I'm not saying that a person sitting in the seat has to be perfect, but be purpose for the people. And, of course, we don't mind you benefiting elected officials. We don't mind you benefiting because we know that's the point. That's the whole point. You are there to benefit. But don't become the benefactor at on sacrificing me or my loved ones. If there's enough people doing wrong out here, Reggie, that you ain't got to do the profit. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, the biggest problem we're having now, you have all these lunatics running around here buying guns and everything, and these gun manufacturers, they take care of their top-tier candidates because they always financing them. And so when they want to vote on trying to ban guns here or try to curtail guns, these politicians have literally dug them with their heels in. And let it be known, we're not making no votes against guns or everything because we're not gonna fight. We're not gonna fight the hand that's feeding us.
Wow.
And like everything from Columbine, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas to Sandy Hook, the shooting just happened in Nashville, Louisville. Everywhere you go, people have died because the way they have always allowed the wrong people getting guns, and it's always the same tragic results, and we see it over and over again. The lobbyists are not going to vote against guns.
Well,
actually, they have passed laws to make it easier for us not only to have guns, but guns.
Okay.
You can carry a gun now without a permit now in most states.
Okay, now, Reggie, I understand what you're saying about the guns, but here's the reality coach spin on that. Most people that, like you are a gun carrier. With or without the law, you're going to be abiding, you're going to abide by the law while you carry your gun.
Absolutely.
It's not so, my thing is yes, I think people shouldn't be able to carry guns, or they should. I don't really know because I'm not a gun carrier, but I do know that if some of these people like the Sandy Hook, Columbine, El Paso, all of this stuff, if you walk into a Walmart and you know you walking in there with five guns, there's about 75 people in here that are legally carrying a gun. Maybe your mind might click and say, I know I'm going to die quicker. So, because everybody is here able to carry a gun. So maybe that might have worked. It may be a double-edged sword. It may work in favor of the people, and then it may not work in favor of the people. But most of the time, the people that was shot, like my son, he was murdered. My son was shot five times. He was murdered. But here's the thing. My son went into a den of thieves. All they did was carry guns. So he knew the probability of him going into that atmosphere. It was dangerous. So people that carry guns normally, normal people that carry guns, they're not using it for the wrong purpose. And maybe that may be the reason for the gun law. I have no idea. But that again, if you had a problem with them letting people carry guns, the importance of voting in your local municipality comes into play. You could have went to the voting polls and said no. So if you're complaining about the law of carrying guns, whatever law you complain about, whether it's locally or in your government, if you didn't vote, your voice wasn't heard. So my thing is, if you ain't vote, you ain't got no right to complain.
I had talked about that to some people, some panelists once before, not too long ago. Is that okay? If you don't like who's in office, why you not voting? Then they claim, like we was talking about the Crystal Mason situation, how she got totally rolled over and persecuted for voting, and they claim that because she was a convicted felon, she should not have been voting or even thinking that she could vote. But what a lot of people don't know is that even if you have been convicted of a felon, once your servitude to your sentence is over with, you can go back and re-register to vote.
Meaning, hold on, let's clarify that. We got to break things down in basic terms so people can understand. Meaning you are no longer on parole. You have completed
or
your
probation.
Long as you're clear of all of that, you have the right to vote. But you got to go down to your local office and find out how to rightfully get back into a voting status. Because if you don't, you can be tripped up. Poor Crystal Mason, I'm sure I have sat on a panel with her. What happened? There we go. They clicked me off. You see it, people. Y'all think I'm joking when I'm saying this stuff. But nonetheless, Crystal Mason, this is a story you can look up. We're not making this up. Crystal Mason, I was on a panel with her in 2020 at the Super Bowl in the NFL talking about mental health issues. That poor child is so mentally, well, I won't say child, woman, is mentally just tormented. All because she's just trying to make her vote count. Because she was probably done wrong at some point by the judicial system. So she wanted to make her voice be heard. That's all I'm saying. But people understand what he's telling you.
But at the end of the day, everyone knows the importance of voting. And those that don't know, they find out real fast in a hurry that that's the main reason. See, this was supposed to keep black people from voting.
Well, Reggie, you're saying everybody knows the importance of voting. They know the importance of voting for the president. But we need them to know the importance of voting for their local municipality.
Right. Well, that's the point I was trying to make.
Okay.
It's a step-by-step procedure, but voting is so key And I mean, people we've seen die over the years from the 60s and everything. They out there, they marching from Selma to Montgomery. Why? Having the right to vote. You know, the March on Washington. Why? Because we've tried to vote. Everything has always been about the right to vote. I remember when people was talking about, you know, we'll never see a black president and everything because we're not going to do all that. But guess what? We did. Why? Because we out there voting. And it wasn't just black people that put Barack Obama in office. White people wanted him in office, too. Hispanics wanted him in office. That was, you know, and people are so jizzed over what they think is or is not what's happening here in America. But, hey, we are seeing it now more than ever. Voting is key. Voting is very important. If voting wasn't so important, you know, a whole lot of things wouldn't be happening like it is now. And as we was talking about mass incarceration replaced slavery. And people, and I challenge anybody to call me out on that one because it is, I mean, blacks are, you know, blacks, Hispanics, I put them all the same as token as minorities. We're 80% of the population in America. Prison population is majority, is predominantly black, Hispanic, because these are the indigenous people. These are the undesirables. I mean, white people are 60% of the population in America, but yet, for some reason, white people are the minority when it comes to being prosecuted and going to prison. And why is that? Because this is a white-owned, white-ran, white-controlled business. Politics has always been and will always be white-controlled.
I'm bold enough to say I beg to differ. We're going to get some people that got some sense sooner or later, hopefully. I'm just saying. I just want to say.
Yeah. But right now, that ain't what's happening. Because God knows, I have seen enough of this back and forth tug of war between Republican, Democrat. We need to get a couple of more political parties of prominence that can come in there and kind of even and balance out that scale because, you know, the Republicans run the state of Texas, but the Democrats run Dallas County.
What?
That's been a controlled and very contrite type of scenario that is played out. That's how they maintain balance. Whereas while we always talk about what's going on in Washington, we better understand. Don't worry about what's going on in Washington. You need to worry about what's going on here on Marilla Street here in Dallas. That's who's yanking your chain. That's what got us doing the inmate shuffle.
And I want people to understand. I can't talk about anybody else's situation, but let me tell you my current situation. This is Dallas County. Before I knew the importance of voting, let me tell you, you can go on my Facebook page. I supported this DA that is in this office. I supported him wholeheartedly because his whole platform promise and premise was judicial reform. That was before I even got caught up in this process. I was supporting it. So I was supporting for your family, your loved ones, people out here. But let me tell you what has happened to me underneath the very person that you can see me smiling, standing next to saying, oh, here comes this great savior. He's getting ready to do something. I can't even say the man's last name correctly. John Crusoe, D.A.
Crusoe.
I supported him 100% because he was for judicial reform, because I listened to so many people's pain talking about the imbalance in the Dallas, just in the Dallas County area. So I supported him. Well, y'all, look what has happened to me. I have one son that was murdered, and now I have a son sitting in prison on life. And let me tell you about this road to justice, this journey to justice underneath this DA that I supported wholeheartedly before I was even in this situation. So I didn't start supporting him to try to get out of a situation. I wasn't even in a situation. And lo and behold, he sentenced my son, the one that is murdered. He sentenced him to 10 years prison. And guess what? I turned him in because he did the crime. You're going to do the punishment for the time. He sentenced him. Well, y'all, lo and behold, yeah, you gave him 10 years. He gets out. He gets murdered. You give his murderer less time than you gave him. You give his murderer 5 years. And then on top of all of that, I'm still supporting him because I know my son. I didn't even know my son was going to die, but I'm still supporting him while my son is in prison, whatever, blah, 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 blah. He gets out, does 5 years. His murderer gets 5 years. He's dead. Then I see I'm at a campaign kickoff for this very DA, y'all. His campaign fundraiser. Guess what happens? I go up to him. Now, you just saw me 2 weeks in your office. Darn near in tears with me, telling me that you found someone that murdered my son, and you can't guarantee that this is the one that murdered him, but the mere fact that he's willing to take a plea deal, a five-year plea deal, lets you know he knows something about it. But then my other son, where DNA clears him, false documents, no deadly weapon, nothing done right in the trial whatsoever. This very same DA that I supported before I became a part of the system, my son gets a life sentence. This is why it's important to vote in your local municipalities. And let me tell you, do not look the devil in their eyes and let them smile at you. If they are not walking the talk, now that second time around, you can best believe I was not in support of the current DA because of what I went through. And I really supported him before I got in this situation because I wanted judicial reform, not for me because I wasn't caught up in it, but for you. I studied. I followed the candidate. And let me tell you, these people put on such good fronts, y'all. They do it very well.
They do it all the time. You know, and see, just to go even deeper on this, people don't understand how the media propagates a lot of what goes on, because if you're talking about something that everybody want to be all in step with, that's all good. But when you're starting to talk about the fallacies and the corruption and everything goes on behind that, then they want to treat you like you're the one that's crazy. You're the one with the problem. And, you know, just like for example, when it was, you know, like how Dominic Alexander, how he rose up through the ranks of being the, you know, the black of civil rights here in Dallas and Dallas County. But then to find out later on, of course, when his criminal past and everything kept being brought up and thrown in to discredit him, that felt good with the media about how they wanted to keep the hype going. Like, no one wanted to take seriously that a person's supposed to be talking about civil rights and everything, but yet he's a convicted felon. Mm. And will never hold a seat as far as by public office. Because, like, I remember when I first met Dominic Alexander, you know, I explained to him about how the justice system worked. And he was talking about how he had got prosecuted for injury to a child case. And I told him, I said, more than likely, whatever were the real circumstances, what really happened, I said, I can't speak on that. I wasn't there. I don't know what he did or didn't do. But what I did speak truth on is the fact that you didn't even go to trial on your case, did you? He said, no. I said, well, guess what? Welcome to the real world and not a moment too soon, might I add. A lot of people will be flattened, and I say flattered. Over 90% of most criminal cases prosecuted here, there, anywhere, they never go to trial. Why? Because they always do plea bargains. When people do plea bargains, they don't believe at the time that that's what got them in the position they're in. That's why they no longer have any political status. That's why they don't have no social status. Because plea bargains are an admission of guilt, because the justice system will say this, and they will walk this line down from here to hell in high water, is that only guilty people take plea bargains. But But when you get on that treadmill, you running, when you get arrested, the time you get prosecuted, the time you get indicted, all that, you're no longer in control of what goes on. When you get a lawyer, you know, everyone will always believe in, well, if I get a court appointed attorney, they're not going to do nothing but just run you through there and get you convicted. But guess what? You get just as much, you get convicted just as easily, whether it was a that or you can hire Johnny Cochran. But the facts always is about the case. Depending on what the case is, you really don't have, you don't have a leg to stand on regardless. So whether they take all your money, you know, mom puts up the house and do all that, you're going to lose everything on that depending on what the circumstances are to your case.
Because, well, again,
you know, I had explained that to this one guy, you know, I told him, he was talking about how his girlfriend framed him for aggravated assault case, and he said that they put me on probation. I said, no. It's not they put you on probation. You put yourself on probation. When you agreed to all the terms on that probation, and I know this because I had this conversation with Judge Julia Hayes.
Okay, hold on. I understand what you're saying, but I want people, again, to understand what he's trying to tell you. Make sure just because someone is a court-appointed attorney, a prosecutor, all that, these people, like he said, that car's got to run. They all work together. So if you're taking it, if someone comes to you and tells you to take a plea deal and they are court appointed, regardless of whatever appointment, you could even have a lawyer that's not even dealing with them. It's all
right.
It's all a money game, and you got to be careful. That's why you got to make sure that you get people in these seats that have. My thing is, you know what? If I had to pick a professional basketball team, do you think I'm going to go to the college? I might to get one person that understands the business side of it. But no, I'm going to go out to the basketball court on the local street and give me some real ballers. Because guess what? They can't be bought. And when they get out there to play, they can't be bought right away. But guess what? I can see when they're being purchased because they're going to shift them.
Right.
So if you want some real people, that's what we got to do. We got to get real people in here that are not about the money. They're about the movement. For the love of the game. No, you can't be loving. You can't be in love with the game. You got to be in it because of the game that's being played. And you ain't trying to gain from it. You just want to make sure it's played fairly and played properly.
Well, like this saying goes, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Well,
you get the right type of players, you won't plan on playing that game.
Okay.
You know, but back to my point about Judy Hayes, because I don't want to leave her hanging since I don't put her name out there.
Okay. We got less than a minute.
You're telling me every person I've ever prosecuted, when I explained to them, they took the plea deal, that they did this on their own volition, they did all this, they did all that. I said, man, you could have had him stand on one hand. He did a cartwheel. He would have spoke like a dog. He did whatever had to be said to get out of jail. Cause chances are he's been locked up. Especially they've been locked up for years or months. Cause I mean most people are going to go through the process from the time they're arrested to the time they're indicted. I say more than half of those people been jailed that whole entire time. Now you're giving them a get out of jail card. They're going to say and do when they admit to whatever they have to just to get out. Because they feel like, well, now that I'm out, I ain't never coming back. And they don't realize that's a lie. You will be back. It's just how it's going to happen is going to be the question.
Well, we got to get...
That's what a lot of people fail to understand.
Okay.
Just how this thing works as far as this justice system.
Okay, well, we're going to do a part two. I'll see you next Monday, but we got to get out of here. But you all stay tuned because Reggie Ruffin will be back with Just Cause Coalition to give you more insights on the importance of your local municipality. Reggie, thank you, and I'll see you next week, hopefully, right before the election to talk about what we're going with you, all right?
All right.
Be blessed, my brother.
Thank you.
You all, I tell you what, this is unprecedented, and a lot of people don't like to know about these things, and I'm on all these different time clocks. Okay. I'm on all these different time clocks doing all this stuff by myself, but y'all, I promise you,